Good morning. Desire y'all's prayers this morning that the Lord would help me to get out the burden. It is Christmas time. Christmas coming up this week. One of the best gifts that I think any of us could ever have received was given years ago. We celebrated it this time. And so I want to use that as the backdrop for the thought today, more than just a kiss. So I want to start off reading in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read here the first six verses. It says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasam, and Naasam begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king." And I want to stop there because this is the lineage of David. And we just had there a couple of women mentioned in the lineage of David. And I want us to think about one of them, Ruth. You know, well, so let's turn back to Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 11. "And Naomi said, 'Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there not any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they are grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me.' And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and but Ruth clave unto her." And thinking of that, there's a poem here I'd like to read, talking about this passage. It says, "The hardships of the past are listed, the hardships of the future predicted. One daughter-in-law leaves with a kiss. No promises made, a blessing missed. One daughter-in-law cleaves and remains, her name and her honor forever proclaimed. How much did the one love and honor who stayed and remained a faithful daughter? The other forsook with a simple kiss. The pleasures of life were not to be missed." And thinking about that, Ruth did something there that showed that she had a love for Naomi that was different than just a fondness, a closeness. Orpah obviously loved her mother-in-law. She initially wasn't going to leave her. But when things were, dare I say, plainly stated, this is the situation you're looking at. If you continue to follow me, here's what's facing you. I don't have the blessings you might be seeking. I'm a widow woman, no husband. And even if I did, the timing's just not on your side. And so Orpah gave her a kiss and walked away. But it said Ruth clave unto her. And we're not going to read the part of what Ruth said, but if you look at what Ruth said, while she clave to her mother-in-law, Naomi tried to get her to leave, and Ruth said, "No. You don't understand, Naomi. I love you. I love you so much. Your ways, they're going to be my ways. The place where you live, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere else. Any family you have, they're mine. The people, the country you belong to, I want to adopt it. I'm going to walk away from what I know. Your God, the God that you've taught me about, that's my God now. and your death. The place you die, that's where I want to die. What a difference in love being shown here. Not to discount that Orpah had feelings for her mother-in-law, but the depth of what Ruth showed, the depth of the way she expressed, I love you, and I appreciate you, and I want to be with you, went way beyond just a kiss. And that's kind of where my thought is at. We love Christ, but how much? The gift we've got, the gift we're about to celebrate later on this week, do we really stop to think about what that gift was? Let's move over to Luke chapter 22. Starting in verse 47. Now this is talking about the betrayal of Jesus. And while he yet spake, behold a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Think about that. Judas, you've been one of my followers, one of my chosen ones. You've been in my inner circle. And now you're coming to give me a kiss. But you're betraying me with that kiss. You're going to walk away. You're going to leave here, and I'm going to be taken prisoner. There's been plenty of speculation about Judas and that kiss. You know, he was obviously motivated by money. We have record of that in the scriptures. He was given 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. And there's been speculation that, well, maybe he thought Jesus had escaped before when they had tried to take him several times. Maybe Judas thought, you know, he's going to escape again. And I'll get 30 pieces of silver. It's going to be all right. But this time was different. It says in Matthew 27, verses 3 and 4, this is afterwards, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elder, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. You know, he did have feelings for Christ. He wasn't devoid of care and concern for Christ. But his care and concern for Christ stopped at a simple kiss. It didn't go beyond that. You know, here he is wishing that he had not done the deed, wanting to repent of it, went to the priest. But the priest, they couldn't forgive him. They couldn't undo the deed. For him, the only person that could forgive him was the one he had betrayed. Turning on over to John chapter 18, because I want to look at another part of this same episode here. So in John chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now we talk about Peter and his denying Christ three times. But I want us to consider something here about Peter and what he's showing with this, dare I say, maybe not the wisest act. He had told Christ, I am willing to die with you. I'm willing to do that. And here he is faced with soldiers, armed soldiers, and what does he do? He takes a swing. I don't know about you all in reading history, but taking a sword and taking a swing at a group of Roman soldiers was probably a sure way to get yourself killed pretty quick. But Peter was willing to do that. He was willing to try to stand by what he had said. Lord, I am willing. He was willing, but at the end, his flesh was weak. And no doubt Christ knew that, because he told Peter, when you're converted, when you recover from this, take care of my flock. And I think Peter, when he looked up and saw Jesus looking at him there after the denials, oh, his heart broke. Because he had offended Christ. And the love he had for Christ just drove him to tears. But it was a love. It was a love that was more than a kiss. It was a love that said, you were right, Master. I thought I was willing to go to the death, but I backed away at the last. Please forgive me. And the wonderfulness of our Savior, forgiveness was there. He had been prayed for, just like we've been prayed for. I'd like to go to Luke now. Luke chapter 7. Starting in verse 36. Luke 7 and 36. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I hath come in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Now look at this, let's just look at this comparison of two people. Simon the Pharisee and a sinner woman. Simon actually invited Jesus to his house. He wanted to pay him some respect, get to know him, spend time with him. To the point, invited him into his house. And then a sinner woman came in. It says she heard that Jesus was in this man's house. And she went in uninvited to this man's house. And just thinking about the way Christ was treated. Now, we don't have a whole lot of details about how Simon was treating Christ, but I expect it was probably very carefully done. All the decorum, all the proper social things taken care of, proper respect being paid. And then this woman comes in, just crying. Crying so much she could wash Jesus' feet with her tears. Taking her hair and drying his feet off in a house she wasn't invited to. Imagine going into somebody's house that hasn't invited. Just imagine going into the house that you're not invited to. Hearing that somebody that you've admired is in the neighborhood and they're at somebody's home. And so you just go up and walk in the house. Especially knowing in this case, one man is considered to be of the righteous group, and you're a sinner. But she wasn't afraid of the shame. She wasn't afraid of the reproach. Dare I say she embraced it? She went in. The one didn't even give Jesus a kiss in greeting. Didn't bother to give him anything to wash his feet. No oil to anoint his head. But this woman, she didn't give him just a kiss, but she continued to kiss his feet, to adore him, to show him how much she loved him. Washing his feet with tears. Anointing him with precious ointment. How did Christ respond to that? Did he look at her and say, "You're wasting ointment"? Wasn't that what was said in another place? What a waste of ointment. No. If we go to Mark chapter 14 and verse 9, we see something here. It says, starting in verse 8, "She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Do you see here, once again, just like with Ruth, her willingness to completely abandon everything and go with Naomi and follow God put her in the lineage of Christ to the point it was called out in the Gospels. And here we have another woman, a sinner woman, a woman of no account socially. And is the words of Christ not still true? Aren't we talking about her today because of the love that she showed Jesus? Not willing to just give him a kiss, but willing to embrace him to say, "Savior, I love you. I don't know how to show you the depth of it, but this is what I'm going to try to do. This is going to be the way I try to show it. And if it's not enough, will you let me know?" Not only did she get her sins forgiven, but she was memorialized for eternity. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 now. First John chapter 4, starting in verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So this is Christmas. This is the time of year we celebrate God's fulfillment of this verse, of showing man how much I love you, that I'm going to give you something that you can't give yourselves. I'm going to send my Son down to take away your sins, to bear that burden, to die in your stead. Do we consider that? Do we love him with more than just a kiss? You know, you can kiss somebody and it's a token thing. It's just, you do it. There's some countries, it's part of a normal greeting. It's like saying hi. We need to make sure it's more than just saying hi for us. Dropping on down to verse 19 in the same chapter. "We love him because he first loved us." Can we really see that gift? In your mind's eye, can you look back through the ages and imagine seeing that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and understand that someday, in 33, 32 years, sometime after that, he was going to be killed for us, for me? Do we consider the love that Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come down to earth for us? Can we understand that forgiveness How many times have we been wronged by people and something stirs in our heart? Isn't there a verse that talks about beware the little root of bitterness that might spring up in your lives and cause problems? Now imagine Christ having watched humanity from the beginning of the world, watched all the missteps, looking on to the future and saying, Father, I'm willing to die for all that. I love them enough, I will overlook all of that. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to be like the Pharisee, like Simon. We live a good life. We're happy Christ died. It's not that we're ignoring it, but we forget our sins. We forget the price that's really been paid. You know, the woman, she grasped what Jesus had done for her. This man has taken away my sins. Yes, here on earth I may always bear some reproach because of the memory of people, but not with the Master. No, he said, my sins are forgiven. And he said that this would be remembered forever. What a wonderful day. So back to Ruth and Naomi. This week, I want to challenge us. Take time to approach Christ the way Ruth approached Naomi. Let him know, Lord, I love you. Your ways will be my ways. Your abode with me. You are my God. And your death is mine because you did it for me. I would just like for us to consider that as we go through the week and just to really grasp the love that God has given us, the love and the mercy that he gave on our behalf. Y'all pray for me.